and establishes clearly what we should be looking for in this person, Jesus. And then the first of three transitional events occur as John begins to show us how the world hated our Lord. And with each passing day and each passing occurrence, the world in all its little nitpicking ways, and all the ways that it could be supercritical, and all the ways that it could undermine the reality of God, began to do everything they could to destroy Jesus and his ministry. The first of these events we see in our gospel lesson today, which takes place there at the pool at Bethesda. The second one of these takes place in the ninth chapter, when Jesus takes the man who was born blind and gives him vision. I almost said restored. He gave him vision for the first time. And that also creates a big hubbub. And the final one, of course, happens just prior to Jesus entering into Jerusalem, creating the triumphal entry. When Jesus appears after waiting, and I believe on purpose, waiting for his friend Lazarus to die, arrives at the tomb and calls forth Lazarus to come forth. Because if he hadn't called Lazarus by name, all the graves would have emptied. As it was, the church, the religious authorities of the day, the nitpickers of the day, were all worried about rules and regulations, not about ministry. Began to do everything they could to destroy Christ, culminating with his death. So now, let's go backwards here to this chapter 5. These short verses where Jesus appears there at the pool at Bethesda. There, the Bible tells us there are five courts, which is to tell us that this is a very large and expansive area. This is not a small little isolated location, a little one-on-one action. No, it's a huge, overwhelming space. And it is filled with people who have various physical, and I have to believe, mental maladies. Circumstances that cause them to be there at that pool, waiting for supposedly the angel of the Lord to still, move the water. And when it moved, the first person into the pool was healed, so they said. What does Jesus do? He walks up to a single man and he says to him, "Do you want to be whole?" He noticed, he said, "I do." Be careful, she's sitting right next to you. Don't go changing teams now, okay? That was a setup, folks. But Jesus does. He comes into that mammoth, overwhelming group of humanity, all broken, all lame, distraught, and incapable of carrying on life. And Jesus picks this one individual out of the crowd for some reason. We have no idea why. He picks him out of the crowd, and he turns to that man, and he says, "Will you be made whole?" That's what the original language tells us. Will you be made whole? We translate in places now in our new translations and stuff, healed. Well, I got news for you. Healing of a physical ailment has nothing to do with the wholeness that Jesus Christ is seeking to do in each and every one of us. Because I got news for you. You can be whole in Jesus and be a quadriplegic. My good friend Johnny, whom many of you have read of, and maybe some of you even have met or know, just look at her. You can be in a whole manner of various things. You can be bedridden. You can all these things. You can be blind. And you could be whole in Jesus. This wholeness has nothing to do with physical anything. Let's get there. So Jesus walks up to this man and he looks at him and he says, "Will you be whole?" And at that moment, that man could have just as easily said, "I've been 38 years at this, you know. I kind of like this. I got a comfy bed here and everything's just fine. You know, they bring me a meal, a happy meal every so often or whatever, and everything is just working along just fine for me. Don't go messing with my gig, Jesus." "Don't mess with my gig, Jesus." The man said, "No, I want to be whole." But he could just as easily have said, "Not now." He could have said, "No." And why do I say that? Because throughout my ministry, which is not short as most of you know, not as long as some people's, I have known people who have said, "Not now." I have had people say, "No," because they were very satisfied and very willing to live in their sin, to enjoy their brokenness and all that it meant for them. And so when Jesus says, "Do you want to be whole?" "Not now, it's not convenient. I'm getting too much out of this." We'll let it ride. If that had happened that day there at the pool at Bethesda, Jesus, I'm certain, would have turned away from that man and walked away from him and found yet another one who was willing to be made whole. And that's just how God works today. That's just how God works today. We either say yes to Jesus or not. Now notice what Jesus does here. It's so important. You notice what Jesus didn't do? He didn't look at this vast array of people around the pool there in those five courts and say, "Allie, allie, out free. Everybody get up. You're all healed now." He didn't run down to the pool and step in and say, "Come on down. I'm troubling the water. Everybody's going to get healed that gets in this moment." He didn't look at the guy and say, "Would you like to have an upgrade on your Happy Meal? We'll get you a Big Mac and a few other things besides." No. What did Jesus do? He did three things quickly. He said to the man, "Get up." You're going to have to, if you say yes to Jesus to be made whole, you're going to have to get up, whatever that means. And you're going to have to make a commitment to do what God wants you to do. The second thing Jesus said to him was, "Take up your mat." Now, later, if you read later in this chapter, this fifth chapter, you'll see that this is the thing that really makes the church people all mad. Because there was a rule in the church at that time that said you could not pick up and carry your mat anywhere on the Sabbath day. They didn't have this 480 or who knows how many different rules. Deacon, maybe you could inform me later. My memory's losing. But there are hundreds of rules about this stuff they made up. Why did Jesus say that? It was Jesus' way of making sure there was no going back, no returning to the man's servant. He could have just easily said, "I just soon leave my mat right here, Jesus, because I might need to come back here tomorrow, okay? Just in case, I'd like to hang on just to a taste of my sin, a taste of what's wrong." and not fully trust in your healing, your wholeness. And the third thing Jesus said to him was what? Walk. Walk. Jesus made no allowance whatsoever for going backwards. It was a getting up and moving forward. No returning to where he had been before. Later in this chapter, as a matter of fact, Jesus says to him, don't go further into sin, because far worse than this could happen to you. Read the book. Read what it says. The warning is there. My problem, your problem, the problem of most humanity is we're terribly comfortable with our sin. We're terribly comfortable with not necessarily being whole in Jesus. We're terribly comfortable with all the deformity and abnormality of our existence. And Jesus says, get up and walk. We say, you know, I really liked being carried around. I like being coddled to because I've had whatever issue it is I've identified. I love people get me my happy meal and whatever else it is I've been able to, you know, manipulate things and other people around with. But Jesus will have none of that. With his wholeness, we are expected to step forward and move forward in life to build the kingdom of God. As you know, I am very, very, very pleased, impressed, almost overwhelmed on a monthly, bi-weekly basis by the various ministries that are carried out in this church and by this church. Yesterday, we hit it out of the park again with our Feeding TLC ministry. It was wonderful. Stupendous. But I can't help but ask the question, what more should we or could we be doing if we could say yes to Jesus when he says, do you want to be made whole? What if we really were serious about allowing Christ to make us whole? How could we engage our community and our world in such a remarkable way that beyond where we are at and what we are doing, the challenges that God has for us in Christ to do that right now we can't even see because we have refused to be made whole, are there? Who else is it out here in our community that is needing our touch, our embrace, the very welcoming smiles and the love that is in us that somehow or another does not fully get expressed? Okay, you said yes. Do you want to be whole? How about it, church? Do we want to be whole? Do we really? What?
Yes.
What is that?
Yes.
Oh, I love that. All right.